Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you.
We do.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's in the books. Well, for most haunts. For our haunt, it's in the books.
Yes.
And for most others, by the time this goes live, the season is in the books, too. Your flashlight slash blackout slash darkness nights are probably done. There are a couple of haunts we know of that are going into the second season in November. You mad
second
bastards.
Week.
Second week in November, yeah.
Right.
You mad bastards. But,
yeah.
That, regardless, for most haunts, this is definitely the end of season.
Right.
And if you are listening to this, one thing is absolutely true. You survived.
Yay!
So give yourself a pat on the back, a self high five, whatever is appropriate, because you made it through the 2018 season. You survived. You should get a Scarrett badge for it. you deserve stuff.
Yes.
You deserve that drink you've been putting on hold.
No, I'm kidding.
Highly recommend grabbing one while you listen to us babble about nothing. Because the plan for this podcast is we're going to recap our 2018 season at our little overgrown home haunt, as we like to call it.
Yep.
All the challenges, all the difficulties we faced, what we did, and how we ended up getting a crap ton of media coverage that we didn't expect.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's been a very good, very bizarre season. But real fast, I have to do all the pluggy stuff, so we are Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntandweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Please follow, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All of our previous episodes are available for there for listening in the YouTube player, which is super convenient. And also you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere finer podcasts are distributed.
Yes.
Now, next up on our agenda is conference reminders.
Right.
And let's see, this is an odd episode. You are the oddball. Crystal, will you do the honor?
Okay. November 9th and 10th. It is Legendary Haunt Tour in Salt Lake City, Utah at the Holiday Inn Express. They will be touring Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory, among others. LegendaryHauntTour.com.
All right. After that, November 16th and 18th in Urbana, Illinois. It's Dark History and Horror Con at the Garden Hotel. Tickets are just $25 for the weekend. DHHCon.com for more details.
Okay. January 24th through the 27th, it's Haunt Con Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. We will be there. He is speaking. We're doing some other stuff, planning on meeting up with people.
Yeah, now's probably the time we should be thinking about that.
We should.
We should.
Yeah. If you have suggestions, contact us at all those places he just mentioned that are Haunt Weekly involved.
And let us know. We'd love to hear your ideas for what we should do.
But to find out more about the conference, go to hauntcon.com.
All right. After that, February 23rd and 24th in Pomona, California, is Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo at the Fairplex. We'll be touring Coffin Creek, both lights on and lights off, and also feature a costume ball. HauntX.com for more.
Okay. February 27th through March 2nd. It is the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma City. They will be in Weston Dallas Fort Worth Airport Hotel. They're touring various mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstay Farm, and more. TheMaze.com to find out what that is.
That's Maze as in corn, Maze. T-H-E-M-A-I-Z.
Yes.
.com.
So, Maze with an I.
So, yes. Oh, God. You know, it feels kind of weird to actually have a little time to relax and not be stressing every single minute of the day.
Well, and our very beloved company will be going home tomorrow, so then it's a return to normalcy, which would be nice.
Yes. You know, it's always a little weird for us, personally, with Halloween, because We have company coming to town, specifically your brother, but sometimes other people too.
Right. I think next year they're going to try to send my dad instead of my brother.
Of your brother?
Yeah.
What is this, like an exchange program?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Anyways. But regardless,
one of them will be here.
Yeah. But regardless, what we usually do is they stay for until the weekend after, because that's usually the first weekend of Renaissance Festival here in Louisiana.
Right.
So we try to make an attempt to go to that, and usually what happens in Renfest is I just simply drink way too much, I see way too much of Christophian Psalter, and...
Yeah, that was pretty much your day yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I had a great time doing it. And now I've got a daughter's appointment tomorrow, so I'm trying to behave as much as I can today.
Yes.
So, I am drinking Diet Cherry 7-Up on this podcast. But that's like the final thing of season for us. It's usually the first weekend of Renfest.
Right.
And then company leaves, and then things start finally quieting down. We're in that phase where he's leaving first thing tomorrow morning. We're expecting some normalcy beginning tomorrow, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been, I think, a very, very good season. It was undoubtedly record-breaking. We got to get the exact totals off the security camera. We had some issues with the counter.
Right.
Not exactly sure what happened, but it is our belief and a reasonable estimate that we had about 900 people come through.
Yeah.
Which puts us at about 5 to 10% more than the previous year.
Yeah.
All in all, it was a good run for us. Halloween night was jumping.
God. It's
always so...
It was nonstop.
Well, it's always so weird Halloween night because we open at 7, and usually the line doesn't show up until 7:30.
Right.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I really have no idea what's going on, but we open at 7, we should have a few people waiting on us, and then after they clear out... We've got nothing for about 15 minutes or so. And it's is no one showing up? Oh, they're showing up.
Yeah.
And starting at about 7:30, we're pretty much running a line. At one point, it was a line that was extended past our queue area all the way down to the street and then into the street, so much that our line actors and road crew struggled to get everyone on the goddamn sidewalk.
Right.
Because you can't block the fucking street people.
No, you can't.
You know, the reason we're
able... That's how you get us in trouble.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like, one of the questions we get asked so much is, how can we do this and not get shut down?
Yeah.
When other haunts that have done the same thing, even in our area,
right.
have. We've been doing it 13 years now. We are the longest running haunted attraction in New Orleans right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy and as weird as that sounds to say, it's true. The key to it for us has been, one, we don't charge. We accept donations. We don't charge. I reckon most people don't pay anything to go in, and that's fine.
Right.
Second, we are in front of the fire department. We're in front of the police department. We talk to them. We have communication and people with them. The fire chief has encouraged us to write him personally with any issues we have.
Right.
I know the commander of our local police district.
Yeah.
We are in front of these people constantly talking about and engaging with them. And the police do drive-bys every year to ensure that everything's nice and orderly.
Yeah, and this is a year-round connection.
Oh, yeah.
Just it's like not just... You know, September, October. In fact, that's when they see us the least.
Yeah, and she's right. Usually we're most prevalent in front of during the summer when things are slowest for everyone.
Right.
And that's also true with our neighbors. We're constantly working with our neighbors, finding ways to help and improve with them.
Right.
The only time our neighbors ever got upset with us was we had one year where a whole bunch of people we did not expect arrived, I think, on a Friday or a Saturday.
Yeah, it was one of those times where they were trying to change the day of trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And we weren't buying it, so we weren't handing out candy, but somebody did because they all showed up with it.
Yeah, and we did not have our usual trash cans in place.
Right.
Because Halloween night, we have trash cans everywhere, basically.
Yeah.
All over the property. We did not have adequate trash cans for this, and there was a lot of garbage left in the street. Now, we went out the next morning and swept it all up ourselves.
Yeah, our neighbors came and knocked on our door at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Which is a what the fuck in its own right. Yeah. Seriously, 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, we took care of it and it was fine, smooth things over, and everyone was happy when we did open on Halloween night.
And now we make sure that there's like not a lot of rappers in the street.
That is one of the things we do every year. But yeah, that's one of the secrets. It's always been we cultivate these relationships all over the year. And the rest of it is we build the professional standards. We have an ADA and fire code compliant haunt.
Right.
We have a very, very good safety record. No one was hurt this year.
Nope.
Some customers tried to arrange that. Would not be the case for our actors, but everyone came away unscathed.
Yeah.
Good work by everyone, ensuring that everyone remains safe. And, you know, we've had to put in all this extra time and all this very mundane stuff, but it's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
We've never had an issue, and God willing, we never will.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been the secret for us. But anyways, we wanted to talk about our season and the things that went into it and kind of do like a retrospective on the 2018 season. Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to do that is to walk people like orally through our haunt.
Okay.
And what we did and the strategy, the tactics, and how we built everything and so on and so forth. Now, it has to start with a queue line, though.
Yeah.
Because this was...
That was the biggest build this year.
It was the biggest and most expensive build. We have a tradition, and I think I mentioned this in a previous episode.
Yes.
Where every year we get like 3 days before opening, and we say we should do something with a queue line. And by that point, we're out of money, we're out of time, we're out of everything.
Right.
We can't do anything, so we just slap together whatever slapdash queue line we can and decorate it the best we can, and that's it. This year, we did not do that. We spent about $300 in lumber and built a 17-foot-long, 9-foot-wide actual queue line with turnstiles and proper wood and pressure-treated lumber and all that stuff. This is a beast of a structure.
Yeah, it's pretty gigantic. It fits well, though. It seemed to work well.
Yes.
We were able to build in a sneaky entrance for our line actors.
Mm-hmm.
He was very happy with that.
Yeah, we built a hidden door, which that turned out to be the biggest motherfucker to build.
I don't know. I think the build went okay.
You know, but figuring out how to build what basically was a 4-foot-wide fence, a section of fence that hinged when what we're trying to do is disguise it.
Right.
Which means we have to build it the same as we built everything else in the queue line.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look exact, but people's brain fills in a lot more than
But we
than
couldn't do the
realize.
Usual stuff you do for like a gate fence door.
No.
Where you have like all the cross pieces to prevent droop and all that.
No.
We couldn't do all that because it would have been very obviously different.
Right.
At that point. So we just gave it a shot and it actually worked. It held up great. And like I said, our line actor in that area was very happy with it.
Yeah.
It worked out amazingly well, and I loved being able to properly decorate it.
Yes.
This year, which means proper lighting, because we could now screw into things. We can now actually work with it. Our previous tent was a metal pole tent, where we couldn't do anything that wasn't zip tie.
No.
And we could only zip tie in very specific locations.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I actually sewed together a big... inside 1 year of black fabric just to try to give it something to make it feel like it wasn't a tent.
Yeah. And this does not feel like a tent at
That's because it isn't.
Well, technically, according to the Orleans Parish code enforcement, it is.
This is true.
But yeah, this was a proper project and it really went well and it helped keep the chaos under order during the nights we were open. So I was really happy with the way it worked out, and I'm very excited to have it again next year.
Yeah.
All in all, I think that was just a smashing success all around. It was a big undertaking. Like I said, involved about $300, $350 worth of lumber, a crap ton of stainless steel screws.
Yes.
It was a mess to build.
Three people and...
Oh, God.
Three people in less than a day, though, to build it.
Yeah, the frame went up in a day.
The frame went up in about 3-4 hours.
Yeah, and then we started putting the actual fence post side of it.
Right.
Went up over the next couple of days. We did that in more bits and pieces.
Yeah, just catch as we can.
No, because our here, our there of work on it. Because that was something that was pretty mundane.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite part there is constantly yelling, where's our spacer?
Yeah.
Because we had a spacer for the gap between the boards and kept losing it every time we would stop work for the day.
Yeah.
But all in all, it worked really, really well. Very happy with how it turned out. And I'm glad because if we do choose to take it down,
right,
it flat packs because it's based on panel construction.
Exactly.
It will flat pack very neatly.
Mm-hmm.
But if we choose to leave it up, it's definitely sturdy enough and hardy enough too. And we've basically heard from code enforcement that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
Because it is considered a temporary structure in our area. And once again, that's another thing we do. We actually do get in touch with people.
Yeah.
At the code enforcement.
Yeah.
So we have at least a remote idea of what we're doing as far as what the city is likely to take actual action on.
Yeah.
But anyways, now the queue line was great. Now, our haunt is about... We debate the size constantly, but it's about between 500 and 600 square feet.
That's fair.
It's a very small haunt in terms of space, but we carve it up into five zones.
Yes.
There are four rooms and one back hallway.
Yes.
If you look at the structure and think of it as roughly a square, there's two rooms on each side like a shotgun, and then a hallway that goes down the back. So you come in on the right-hand side. You go into room, hall, straight back. Then you exit through room.
Yeah, like a U.
It's a giant U. And then you exit out the other side. And we've used this specific layout now for, I think, 3 years.
Yeah, it's about to change.
It's about to change. We're about to update it. It won't be that significant.
No, but...
it'll be enough to mess with people.
Exactly. The small changes that we are planning are going to have a big impact for customers.
Well, the first room is the library sequence.
Yes.
And the library sequence is probably my favorite room in terms of design and decoration.
Yeah, mine too.
It was a library last year, too. It fit both stories to have a library. The last year, what was the theme last year?
It was the movie theme.
Oh, yeah, as far as the movie theme. And we turned it into like a study slash movie mini movie theater, like a personal movie theater.
Like a parlor.
Yeah, like a parlor type thing. But still a library, basically. But this year, we're doing a theme about phobias.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the one phobia everyone seems to have is being naked and late for school.
Or unprepared for a test in this case.
And so forth, yeah. And so the idea was we were going to make people afraid of tests and so forth. Start them off with one of the lighter phobias.
Yeah.
But a very, very good scare in the room.
And it was a stretch to begin with.
It was.
We'll admit that. It was a stretch to call that a phobia. But, you know, whenever I... And this room was weird because this is my room. This is the room I work. Because this is where I can follow you and make sure that everything's working right. So it changed actors every night. Mm-hmm. The first night it was just me in here. So if people came in and they were adults, I would tell them I was coming after their taxes. They were getting audited. We were going to hit all these books and they were going to get audited.
That scared the crap out of some people.
It did. Some people look very worried.
Review on Facebook. Mention taxes. Way too scary.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kids, it was always, you know.
You're late for your test. Or
late for your test. Unprepared. Didn't study. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and the appearance of the room, I think, is just beautiful. The whole one side of it, to the left-hand side, as you come in, is this enormous classic, I think it was technically a radio cabinet.
It was. It was a radio cabinet that my grandmother had in her house.
Now, unfortunately, when we finally got it, which we had to rent a van to go to the upstate and get it. This was a couple of years ago.
Right.
When we got it, the condition it was in was just horrible.
Yeah.
It had been mistreated as hell.
It had. Growing up, it was my favorite piece of furniture in their house. And it's still beautiful. It's just really, really weathered.
Yeah.
And kind of we basically apart in a couple of places.
Yeah, when we got it home, one of the first things we had to do was go out and buy new wood
to build,
to make a stable base.
Yeah, exactly.
The base literally was so rotten and worn, it wouldn't stand properly.
Nope.
No, especially not with any weight on it. So we had to go, when we built a 2x4 frame to go inside the base, that actually made it sturdy.
Right.
So I was really proud of how we fixed that and got it working. It still looks amazing in this room.
Yeah, it looks much better in the haunt.
Than it would in a home.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
But this year we expanded what we did in this room because we added several stacks of books.
Yes.
Which is
over 6 feet tall.
Yeah, two of them are over 6 feet tall. One of them is about four. There were several stacks floating around.
Right.
And I loved those. We got the idea from Aurelio Voltaire's Gothic homemaking.
Right.
And have looked at how he did it. And tried to emulate it and realized we had a bit of a learning curve in trying to emulate it. It turns out drilling holes in books is not as simple
right.
as I thought it was. If you're going to do that where you put like books on a pole, two tips I'll give away right now. One is make sure to have four really good C-clamps or spring clamps handy.
Yeah.
You have to clamp all four corners of the book.
You do, and you have to get close to where the hole is going to be.
Yes, as close as you can. And second is you're going to want to use a spade bit that's half an inch wider than your pole.
Yeah.
We started out with one that was a quarter inch wider, thinking that would give us enough wiggle room. It didn't.
Nope.
It would not work. Something about the expansion, the contraction of the pages, it did not work. So once we learned those two things, we were able to make quick work of it.
Right.
But it was a mess trying to get those built initially.
Now, if you do have a really wide vice grip, you can put that on the spine of the book. And a clamp on the top to hold it all together. Because the problem is when you're drilling through it, the pages want to buckle.
Yeah.
And the hard covers especially want to bend. And you don't want them to bend because that'll misshape them.
And it'll make it so you don't have that straight hole.
Exactly. Put the
hole through. Yeah. We learned some hard lessons there, but we eventually got it.
Yeah. And all of these books were damaged and donated. For this use.
It was interesting because we actually got most of these books from another haunter.
Yes.
Eddie over at Chamber of Horrors came across these. Basically what had happened is someone had died.
Yeah.
And their law library had become flooded somehow. I think it was a pipe burst or something.
I don't know if that was it or they just didn't want them.
I'd heard
by the time we got them, they were
already pre-destroyed.
Yes.
They were of no use to anyone else for any purpose. So we're not destroying any good books. But that's actually an important thing because of the scare we had with this room.
Right.
Which was when we had the news segment about us, which we'll talk about later.
Right.
One of your coworkers
yes.
came to you and said, I really love what you're doing with the haunt. What's the deal with the Bibles in the ceiling?
Yeah, he was kind of freaked out. I work at a Jesuit college, so he was very freaked out that I would screw Bibles to the ceiling. I wouldn't do that because we're not that kind of haunt.
Yeah.
We try to avoid those kinds of
controversies.
Controversies, yeah.
And it was so I ran out into the haunt. I mean, you told me while I was writing or working on something here at the house.
Yeah.
And I ran out and I immediately examined every book in the ceiling. And I found out, and I'm looking at it right now because we're recording in this room.
Yeah.
There's a dictionary that has the same kind of thin paper and the same kind of thumb tabs as a Bible.
Right.
But it is open to Walloon to Wanton, I believe that is. it's open to the W section, basically, and it is not, decidedly not a Bible. In fact, I took a photo of the book to send to her so she could show him and make the point that we would never, ever do that.
Yeah, because I don't want to get in... I like my job.
Yeah, well, that, and we don't want to...
We don't want to unintentionally offend people.
Well, and if you have to offend people to be scary, you're not doing a very good job being scary.
Yeah.
We're just not, that's not our style of haunting. No. Our style of haunting is all about the tactics.
Right.
And the tactics in this room are very straightforward. As you come in, on the right-hand side of the room, mm-hmm. you have a diagonal path to the left for the doorway into the next room.
Right.
However, there is an actor, usually you.
Yes.
Pacing the area dead ahead of you. And the goal there is to nudge you further to the left.
Yeah.
So that the disappearing wall, which is hidden right behind them, will literally drop right behind him, and that actor can jump out and startle from the back left.
Right.
And that scare worked super effectively. I really love the disappearing wall scare and how simple it is, the elegance of that.
Right.
It really does take a good actor mm-hmm. to make it work. You need someone with a good yell, because unlike a drop panel, you're not going to get that thwack. Basically all it is a metal pole with fabric
yeah.
stitched to it. And when the fabric is stretched up into the up position, it looks like a solid wall and it's painted like the rest of the walls in here.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that it is positioned in such a way that people aren't looking there.
Yeah. And it's lit in such a way that it's, the differences aren't obvious and so on. And
no, cause that is my superpower is hiding scares.
Yeah. And so, yeah, when that thing hits and the actor bursts out and yells, boom, that's your scare. And it's, we always try to position it so it's coming from that angle behind them.
Yeah. And we will, like, take pictures yes. and stuff, or put up a walkthrough video, because yeah. we know someone out there is saying, man, I wish I could really see this. It's great hearing about it, but yes, we know we will get,
yes, we will get
something
that, yes.
up there. Where will we get that out there?
We'll get it on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. That's the easiest place for us
there
to do
it. There
you go. I think that's the easiest. In fact, I know the 360 walkthrough will be going live there sometime this week.
Right.
Because for some reason, YouTube fucking hates our 360 camera.
Oh.
And the YouTube uploads of our 360 videos always basically look like a 90s music video. With the fisheye lens and all the wibbly wobbliness.
Gotcha.
Where the actual Facebook parses it correctly.
Gotcha.
So we're going to do it on Facebook there, I think. Even though we have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That I think will only be on Facebook because of that. Screw you, YouTube. Seriously, yeah. Learn how to work with a Gear 360. It's a good 360 camera.
Yeah.
The next sequence is the doctor's office.
Yes.
And this one, I think, had the most in terms of build.
Yes.
Because of the half-man prop.
Right.
And you've seen these elsewhere. It's for
the spilled guts.
The spilled guts prop is the other name for it. We decided we wanted to build one. We wanted to use it as the distract in that room. And it turned into a motherfucker. It was the prop we talked about previously. We failed.
Yeah.
Epically, the first build.
The first build, complete failure.
It was a complete and utter failure. And I'm going to say this. If you ever do want to do this project, spend the money, get the actual mirrors from a professional place.
Right.
The plexiglass, mirrored plexiglass. Because, I mean, that is the most mirrored mirror I think I've ever seen in my life.
And it's plastic.
And it's plastic. It is literally, I mean, I'm looking at it now. I can kind of peer over your shoulder mm-hmm. and see it. And it is just, I still can't tell it's a mirror. It's that mirror.
You
and
can't tell it's a plastic.
It's plastic. I can tell. Well, I can't even tell it's a mirror. It looks like the back.
Yeah, this is true.
But yeah, it's incredible how well that worked. And once we had the correct dimensions, and I'm actually going to post the exact dimensions of everything.
Right.
The reason is because we've seen a dozen other guides on how to make this. None included exact inches.
Right.
And that ended up screwing us up.
Yeah.
I will post the exact details on how we did it inch for inch a little bit later.
Yes. Now, one thing to note about this prop is the actor in there is basically in a hot box. It is very hot to be in there all night.
Yes. One of the additions we made for Halloween night was a cup holder.
Yes.
That was hidden from customer view where he could get water between groups.
Right. Exactly.
So that was a big help. Now, the scare in that room, see, when you enter the room, once again, you're entering the room on the left-hand side with another diagonal cut to the right.
Yes.
Yes,
we like doing these zigzag things across the room.
Yeah. But as you're going through there, the scare actually comes directly from your right. There's a table. Our doctor bursts forth and is able to slam a prop knife onto that table and make a really good bang.
Sometimes through the table.
Mistakes were made with the construction of the table.
Well, we used the one that we had in the diner scene, and the diner scene didn't, you know, we just recovered it as a doctor's table.
Yeah, we basically just threw a new cloth over it and called it a day. But the diner sequence, we had actually taken apart, I can't remember what it was. Was it an old desk?
I think it was a piece of an old particle board desk. Yeah,
it was like an old cheap desk we had. And we just said, okay, this is exactly the right size. It prevents us from having to rip cut plywood.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep all of that stuff because you never know when you're going to need something. So it's all in the rafters.
Yeah, it saved us a lot of time that year.
Yeah.
And
did not save us this year time.
Not much.
No.
Because our actor, John B., who is, he's a mighty man.
Yeah.
A very strong individual.
Yeah.
Very imposing frame. He, actually, by the end of the second night, had literally, using a rubber knife, had managed to literally go straight through the particle board.
Half of the table was gone.
Yeah, there was, like, half of it literally
half
wasn't
of the
there.
Top was gone.
Was not there. So, for Halloween night, we had to go and rebuild the table using actual 2x4s. And I told him, if you can get through the 2x4s with a rubber knife, I'm just going to give up.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's nothing we can do at that point.
I don't have the money to buy the steel countertop for that. As great as that would be, but I think you'd break that too.
Great noise.
It would make a great noise.
Okay, we need to put metal on top of that for next year if we use it again.
Okay, fair enough.
Just note.
Note to self. But yeah, so once again, creating a pinch movement there. Between the distract and the startle.
Yeah.
And that leads us into the back hallway, which was, on most nights we were open, just a rapid succession of three scares.
Yeah.
The first was we had an actor area, which actually was intended to be a storage area, but we didn't have anything in it.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. When we were building the back hallway, we had an actor who had an idea, and that idea wasn't going to work. So we were going to put him in this other scare that was already back there. It's in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in case it was too uncomfortable for him, because he is older than me.
Yeah.
We created a second scare as a backup scare in case that one just wasn't going to work.
Yeah. And basically what we did is we took the top of a air conditioning unit, the little metal metal square piece.
Because our walks, we bring home random stuff.
Yeah, one of the best things you want to do if you're in suburban area, go for walks.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know this. Go for walks or drive arounds just before, trash day.
Especially bulk trash day. If you have a bulk trash day, it's great.
Yeah.
We got that, and we put it over the whole what was previously a drop panel frame.
Correct.
And so that way the actor could just simply bang on it from basically be invisible and then bang on it and startle.
Yep.
And then immediately after that, we had the scare up in the ceiling where an actor could basically appear from what seemed like the rafters and really crane down on people. We had a way to strap him in and make him safe.
Yes.
But then was the improv scare at the end of the hallway I was really proud of.
Right.
Because when we were in Chicago, I think it was at Evil Intentions.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was there or Midnight Terror.
I think it might have been Midnight Terror. It might have been both, actually.
I don't know. It seemed to be Midnight Terror.
They took that black drain pipe, and they made like a curtain out of it.
Right.
And then actors simply burst through and make it move.
Yeah.
And I realized, holy crap, you're getting a ton of movement.
Yeah.
For very little energy expended.
Yep.
And it's super effective because you don't expect those to actually move. So I'm like, okay, well, we have a countertop back there that's built into the garage. We've never really done much with it.
No.
Mostly because it is just in the way.
Yeah.
We created like a curtain of this pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an actor who's 13? 14?
No, she's 16 now.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. She started working on this when she was 13.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I am too goddamn old for this.
Yeah.
She's 16 now, but she loves doing sneaky, stealthy roles.
Yeah.
And she's actually very, very good at them, too.
Yeah.
So we love to have her in them. What she did, she wore a black morph suit and a creepy steampunk mask.
Mm-hmm.
And she got back there, and just as customers came, they burst through it and made all the pipes move, and people jumped.
Yeah.
People really jump for that.
Yeah, and the great thing was that the guy in the rafters, whenever people would get close to her, would say, "I see you," and that's the first words he said.
Yeah.
And so they're looking back up at him,
yeah,
and she comes out beside them.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of weird about it, is the first scare is at medium height, second scare is way up,
mm-hmm,
and third scare is back at medium height again.
Yeah.
But just that variance, having that up scare, yeah, in the middle of there, drastically changed the flow of the room and where people's eyes were.
Yeah.
Because if it had been medium, 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 mm-hmm, it never would have worked. But medium, high, medium, we had them guessing as they entered that last hall, and that burst out was super effective. I think,
right,
that was, it ended up being one of the most consistently effective things we had, I think.
Yeah.
The next sequence was the body bag room. Which, this room was a difficult one for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
When we were designing this room, we had to brace ourselves for the possibility we might not have enough actors.
Correct. Because originally the idea was this was going to be like a nightmare sequence with all this weird, crazy stuff going on. But we found out that actors were dropping out early.
Yeah.
Which, thank you for letting us know. So we built it so that it didn't have to have an actor for the scare in it to work.
Yeah, the main job of an actor in this room would have been to direct the flow of the people to, we have a breakaway wall, which is actually operated by the doctor, because now you're on the other side of the wall from the doctor's office.
Right.
It was operated by the doctor. And so, and he burst through and you have a couple of bodies hung right by where the panels are, right, the panels come out, and it causes things to move a lot, and it makes a hell of a noise.
It does.
Amazingly consistently effective. But what we did is we positioned about, I think there was a total of about 10 body bags in there.
Yeah. That sounds about the number of bodies.
They're all on
I
the
made.
Floor now, so
yeah.
We let the bodies hit the floor.
We did.
We let.
Well, mm-hmm, I had to cut them down.
Yeah, because they were in the way of the washing
they
machine.
They were.
But... but yeah,
I needed to do shit.
But we positioned the bodies and the lighting in that room,
yeah,
so that people, when they come into it, would form a natural snaking path right where we wanted them for the breakaway.
Yeah, and we tried this with several people who had never seen the room, never seen the haunt. They walked in. They walked exactly where I wanted them to walk.
Yeah. That was one of the challenges. We had to keep, like, luring people into the haunt.
Yeah.
Hey, can you walk through this room for us real fast? We just need to,
yeah,
see where you go.
Just come from the entrance and let me see where you walk. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, you walked exactly where I wanted you.
Yeah.
It was a combination of the lighting was positioned right over the area we wanted them.
Yep.
People gravitate toward the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like I said, there was a clearing in the bodies.
Right.
That people, that you could see and easily make your way to.
Right.
And so...
I did see several groups, like one person went one way and one person went the other way, and then they were all like running around scared, and it was...
But we ended up actually having an actor in,
yeah,
that room.
We did, all three nights.
All three nights, and the actor's main job was sitting in the dead corner initially,
right,
which is very well hidden, and then coming out and scaring and making the group like pause for a second right in front of the area.
Yes.
And then they had an alley they could slip in behind them and help chase them out.
Right, exactly.
It worked, and it worked very well. The actors did incredible work in that room, and it really made it tied it all together. I think it was much more effective that way.
Yeah.
And the final room was the fear of spiders.
Yes.
And this room we had had multiple iterations on. Originally, it wasn't going to be spider-themed.
No, not at all.
It was going to be just a dark forest.
It was.
And that aforementioned actor who does really good work in like morph suits and so forth and stealthiness was going to be in there.
Yeah. Yes. I was building her a forest to play in.
Yes.
And
we ended up...
Some of our other actors saw it and said, I'm going to be this in this room.
And we initially pushed back, but once we came up with the other scare for her,
yeah,
it kind of worked out a little better.
It did work out better, and it was a safer scare for her too.
Yeah, there are some actors who it's like, yeah, they can be in punching position,
yeah,
because they can handle themselves. There are others who can't. She cannot. She's
right.
Just too small,
yeah,
and she needs that retreat space.
Yeah,
and she would not have had that in the original layout of that room. So, one of our actors built a very elaborate spider costume,
right,
for herself that actually gave her six arms,
yes,
that she could articulate fully.
Yes.
It was very, very cool. Unfortunately, the first night, the room didn't work out, because as you go into the room, you enter from the left, you exit to the right, toward the across the room and to the right.
Right.
She is dead ahead, but hidden behind a giant tree.
Yes.
And while she was able to stay fairly hidden, the problem was she didn't have a really good place to pop out, because people's eyes were all pointed the wrong direction.
They were all looking at the exit.
They were all looking at the exit,
yeah.
And that didn't afford her enough room to pop around.
Right.
So we gained a couple of actors the last two nights.
Yes.
And those two nights, we were able to convince one of them to be a spider victim.
Yes.
We put them in that corner immediately to the right as you come into the room. And the result of that is eyes start going to the right.
Yes.
Exactly away from the spider.
Right.
And that way when she pops out, it's actually a really good startle. That room improved effectiveness, I think, tenfold by having the victim in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Personally, I think that the last two rooms were the weakest in decoration.
Yeah.
And in the way that they worked.
Well, I think the body bag room ended up working especially effectively. That breakaway wall is a mother.
It is.
That is a scare that I have not seen executed quite like that, even in Pro Haunts.
No. And it's something that's effective everywhere.
Yeah, it's been effective in every room. You could literally put that in an all-white room.
Yeah.
And as long as you hit it well, as long as, you know, the flow of the room is correct, it would work.
Yeah.
It doesn't require much decoration to get a good reaction.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think every room, by the end of the second night, especially as we opened up for Halloween, every room was clicking.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a room that was really misfiring, which is unusual, because usually we have that one room where it's like,
yeah.
That one's just not coming together.
Right.
It's not happening this year. I don't know what the deal is. We fucked that one up.
Yeah.
No, every room, I think, at least did well.
Yeah.
If not extremely well.
Yeah, and the addition of the shovel to the body bag room Halloween night was a really good thing.
Yeah. People hate the sound of a shovel on concrete, man.
They do.
That is like one of the worst sounds ever. So, yeah, it was super effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got about 10 minutes left, and that's pretty much the entire walkthrough of the haunt. One of the things that was really, really weird this year was the amount of media attention we got.
Yeah.
Because every year, typically sometime around the last week of September to the first week of October, I sit down, I take an evening away from haunt work. Maybe Crystal's got to go paint something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crystal's going to go paint and...
I'm going to go decorate.
You know, I'm not going to be in the haunt that night.
Right.
I'll stay inside and do all the media contacts. I'll send press releases. I'll reach out to all the places that have like event calendars.
Right.
And I'll get on all of them.
Yep.
I didn't do that this year.
Right.
I was pretty much in the haunt every night.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a night like that.
No. Well, we had extra trips too.
But
you were out here helping me more than
even more.
Even more.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Every year I realize, hey, help is nice.
Now, usually...
Competent help is especially nice.
It used to be I would get thrown out like, Jonathan, I'm painting, please. Off.
Yeah.
Go do something with the website or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would go handle communications or other things. Yeah. So there are other work. There's other work to do. And it is important work.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, lately it's been more and more and more of a collaborative thing on the actual build side. Because it's like traditionally in the build, we would do like the rough work together. Like that, you're getting the panels in place.
Right.
Doing the actual construction.
Figuring out the scares.
And the actual construction part.
Right.
Was a together thing.
Yeah.
And realistically, it's a two-person job. You're never going to get done with just one person.
Yeah.
But when it came time to actually decorating and doing the fine detail and work, usually you would take over.
Yep.
And that's become less and less the case. And I'm happy about it. But it did mean this year that I did not do that. It didn't matter.
Nope.
It literally did not matter, because even before I would have normally done it, we had gotten multiple media contacts. GoNola.com put us in their list of things to do at New Orleans Halloween,
right,
which apparently attracted a couple from England
to
our house.
I know.
what the hell? I was like, they didn't come here just for us.
No.
They were here to spend Halloween in New Orleans.
Right.
But yeah, Halloween night, they're at our house.
Yes, people from the UK. We had people from Mississippi who came out. It was weird that we had so many people travel a lot further than we expect.
Yeah. And then, like I said, getting the call from WWL, the local CBS affiliate.
Yeah.
Or it was a Facebook message, not a call.
Yeah.
But it was like, holy crap. You know, yeah. We've gotten a lot of print media attention. We've actually been on the front page of both the local, the neighborhood newspaper.
Yeah, there's two of them.
For the Times-Picayune and the Advocate. We've been on the front page of both. I've got those saved in my office.
Yeah.
We've gotten a lot of print media. We've never had any of the television stations.
No.
So that was really, really interesting to experience that and have them come here and sit. And I realized the only time in my life I wear shorts, of course, because I never wear shorts.
I never wear shorts.
And I'm on the fucking news in shorts.
I know.
Like, people who know me, like, oh, you have legs?
I know, exactly. No, I saw that and I'm like, oh, he's going to say something about that later.
Yeah, well, now's later.
Yeah. Now your brain has enough
juice in it
to think about that.
Yeah, but no, it's like, really?
Yeah.
I didn't actually, you know, think about that in the moment.
Well, the other thing is that we thought that they were shooting waist up.
Yeah. But it's fine. It's all good, really. And the interview did go very well, and it made us look really good.
Yeah.
They did a good job making us and the haunt look really, really good. I was super happy with it.
Yeah, me too.
It was one of the it was some of the most positive and most wonderful media coverage we've had. That happened this year. All in all, the other challenges we had, one was an actor challenge. Everyone was talking about how we were going to not be able to find actors this year because there are so many haunts that pay now in New Orleans. That we didn't lose a single actor that we had last year to a paid haunt.
No, we did not.
We lost one who was a returning actor from previous years to a paid haunt, but she was not really guaranteed or even slotted in.
Yeah, she hadn't been with us for several years. She did come out and help build before she started working for them.
Yeah.
She helped build a few bodies, so...
She still was a big asset, but...
Yeah.
But no, we didn't lose anyone then. We lost people to, like, their day jobs. We lost people to, like...
Yeah.
Apparently, like, half our haunt actors are tour guides now.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so we lost a lot of people to that. We lost a lot of people... lost a couple of people to those types of issues.
Yeah.
And we ended up, as we were getting about halfway through October, staring down the gun of simply not having enough people to even really pull together a functioning haunt.
Right.
But we ended up by Saturday night, being overloaded.
Yeah.
Because we usually try to set it up so that the haunt can operate on like 6 people.
Yeah.
But has room for up to 12.
Yeah.
And we were pushing that 12. And in fact, we had a couple of actors who literally promised to be here Halloween and then bailed on us.
Yeah.
And they are not invited back now.
Right. Yeah.
But we were, strangely enough, a little bit relieved because we did not have, if everyone had showed up, we would not have had enough spaces.
Yeah, we would have had 13 actors in 12 spots.
Yeah. We might have moved one of them to front of house.
Yeah, to help with the line.
Help with the line and those issues because we did have someone bail on that.
Yeah.
But it ended up working out. We had 11 actors working in the haunt, and even though we only had one queue line actor, we had our road crew and our front of house team on Halloween night, the trick or treat team. Who were the unicorns this year, judging from the photo they took.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things that were really interesting. The lighting issue and at the end of the doctor's office was funny.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that people got so scared by the doctor's office that they didn't know where to go. And I'm like, well, maybe it's too dark back there. Maybe they can't see that that's where to go. So for Halloween night, we stuck a light up there, and sure enough, that they knew exactly where to go.
Yeah. We happened to have one of those stake lights, like for yard display,
yeah,
that had been broken. Like, the stake part had been broken. The bolt part was fine. And it happened to be red, and that's the industrial hallway, so it fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And just literally took a screw and screwed it right into the ceiling, right into the wall there. And, yeah, it was exactly perfect to let everyone know where to go.
No.
And that's one of the lessons that I think we're going to carry with us this year, is to focus more on lighting the next step, the transition between light and dark.
Well, and we've done that in past.
Yeah.
In the past, we've been very good about that. This is the first year that I haven't put a light at an exit / entrance.
Yeah.
And it showed. So it was fixed.
Yeah, it was only one room that was really a problem. The others, I think, because we had overall a fairly bright haunt.
Yeah.
In general.
We usually do.
We usually do have it brighter than a lot of haunts. So,
yeah.
And I think that's just because we want people to be able to see the detail work. And we're using lighting to hide scares. And what that means is you have to light something fairly strongly.
Right.
Where you want them to look. So that way they're not looking at the thing you don't want them to look at.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I've talked about it before on here. I don't like doing black walls. I don't like doing really dark, because that just shows, to me, it's a cheat.
Yeah.
It's,
and
you know,
it also throttles your throughput though.
Yeah.
If it's really, really dark, because people can't move as quickly.
Right. They don't know where to go. And they,
I mean, if we
don't.
Wanted to trap people in this garage for like all of Halloween night, I would just simply turn out all the lights, put up a bunch of black walls and have them ping pong around.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
A labyrinth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That wouldn't even be a weekend project.
No. It wouldn't. We did have a few issues with guests.
Yes.
For the first time in a few years, I had to throw somebody out.
Yep.
They came in. I heard them as they were coming in. The front guy said, "Watch this." And so I'm like, I am securing myself because I'm the first person this person's going to see. You know? Yeah. So I'm watching him. He doesn't do anything to me, but as soon as he gets to the next room, he takes a swing at an actor. And and I had to throw him out as a group of four.
Yeah. And his friends called him a fucking idiot, at least what you said.
Yeah. Well, they said, "Why'd you do that, you fucking idiot?"
Yeah, because now none of them get to see the whole haunt.
Exactly. And I think that they were surprised that they didn't get to finish just because their friend threw the punch. But
no, the group goes,
yeah,
all for one and one for all, man.
Yeah. Well, and I told them, you know, we build this haunt safely to keep you safe. You need to do your part to keep us safe. You can't act like that.
No, that's absolutely true. And the thing about it that kills me is someone also swung on the line actor, too. Why in the hell are these dumbass tweens that weigh like 85 pounds sopping wet swinging on the two biggest guys I know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if they swung at me, I'd at least understand it. You might take a look at me. I'm 6'0" and have about 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not that physically intimidating. So you might look at me and think you got a chance. You don't, but you might think it.
Right.
But like I said, well, our doctor is seriously a tough dude. I mean, in terms of, he looks like he could bench press a Volvo, and the line actor is damn near 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be fair, he was bending over when he got smacked in the jaw, blindsided, because I don't know what he was doing.
I did not see it.
No, but.
And he was very poor at explaining it.
Well, yeah, because it was hard enough to almost pop his jaw out of socket, and it was a 13-year-old. So he stood up, and the kid's like, "Oh shit, what did I just do?" kind of thing.
Now, he doesn't stand up; he more unfolds.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's probably true.
he like telescopes. It's very bizarre. But yeah, it's like swinging on these giants.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it's absolutely insane to me. I am very lucky. And that the only time I've ever had anyone take a swing at me was when I was working the closet at Chamber of Horrors and I was in the blackout suit.
Right.
And they swung at me and they missed by like 300 goddamn feet because I was not where they were. They couldn't see me, basically. They were swinging into the air, and they just did this wild haymaker that damn near spun them around.
Yeah.
Missed me completely. I was over here somewhere just mm-hmm. looking at them. But, yeah, so that's the only time I've ever actually been swung on. But, yeah, then again, I've spent most of my haunt career as queue line in front of house. So,
yeah.
You know, those roles typically don't get that many.
Yeah, I've not been swung on. We tend to build to where it's not possible to make contact with our actors.
Yeah.
We try to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and they didn't make contact with the doctor.
No.
John B. Because they were swinging across that table that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Having
which
to rebuild.
He had 4 feet to retreat back into.
Yeah.
Or, well, no, it's probably more like three.
More than an arm's length is what yeah. it comes down to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why we had so many. Well, it's not so many. It's 3 out of,
900.
You know, over 900. But
it's less than point. It's less than 0.3%, basically.
But it's more problems than we usually have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we, you know, and it seems like every year, almost, we have at least one group that decides to cause some kind of trouble.
Right.
The year that was the worst was when we actually had to close down.
Yeah.
Because a group destroyed enough stuff.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand that. That broke
That was just. That was the year that the candy was stolen at the beginning of the night. The group started tearing down stuff, and we had an actor who was putting dents into our washer because they didn't, like, think. So, and that was before we had the washer hidden behind a wall and protected.
Yeah.
They were sitting on top of it and then kicking their feet into the sides.
Yeah, it was...
So it's just like, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah, that was the year we came closest to quitting, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, every year, it seems like as we're going through the process of the build, and as we're struggling with whatever we're struggling with that year, whether it's actors, or whether it's, you know, build quality or promotion or whatever is our demon that year.
Yeah.
Every year, we have a moment where it's like, yeah, this is the last year. We're just going to get through this season.
Yeah.
We'll see if Mortuary or somebody else wants to...
Not Mortuary.
Not Mortuary, but someone else wants to recruit us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know where, but we'll always be haunting, but it's just a matter of where.
Yeah.
Might not be doing it in our place, but I really do like the build and the creativity aspect of it. I love thinking about the tactics of scares.
Right.
I love mapping out and trying to visualize how scares are going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, I think, my two favorite compliments ever haunting.
Yeah.
One was from a customer
mm-hmm.
who came through and left a great review, by the way, on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
But he told me, he said, you guys are the exact right amount and the exact right kind of scary.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And the other one came from one of our actors
mm-hmm.
who's acted all over the country, actually.
Right.
He's probably one of the most experienced actors I know. He said, I can tell that you guys are two haunt actors designing a haunt rather than two haunt designers trying to be actors.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a haunt designed by haunt actors.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that does come through.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about all for this season. We'll be back next week with something else. I have no idea why. We haven't actually talked about that.
Maybe we can get an interview.
Who wants to be interviewed by us?
Yeah, put our brains on vacation a little longer.
Yeah, I need someone else to fill an episode for us. You want to be interviewed, let us know. At Twitter is Haunt Weekly and Facebook at Haunt Weekly. And also you can reach us at hauntweekly.com. And tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Definitely give us a listen there. And as always, we are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, Podfarmer, Pod People.
I remembered your joke from last time.
But yes, we are available in all the places finer podcasts are distributed. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 153, talking about our 2018 season. We will see you guys next time.